That's just a blessing. I hope that you like to sing. I hope that you like to hum them through the week. I hope you like to reflect the words. There's some amazing words that some of the writers God has used to pen some of these songs, and just tremendous opportunities that God has given to us. Song is important because we can take the words further along in our lives. Isn't it amazing how a tune will stick with us? And so we can take that, and sometime through the day, we don't even realize it. We're singing a song, and God's word is coming into our lives. Guys, go ahead and get started passing out the worksheets. This is worksheet number 5. I hope there's enough. This is a good turnout tonight. I did 65, so we'll see. I guess I shouldn't always be pushing it. I didn't think I was pushing it, but this is a good crowd tonight. And so looking forward to what God's going to give us as we learn concerning discipleship. I don't know how valuable it is to do it while these guys are passing things out. There's a lot of commotion. I'd like to say some things that I want you to think through. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and wait. I'll let them pass them out. I want to encourage the children. See if your parents have a pen or pencil. Maybe there's a pew pencil in front of you. If you use a pew pencil, make sure it gets back there. I want to keep those there. But hopefully you can take time to fill these out. Hopefully this helps you pay attention as well. Hopefully it'll keep you awake tonight as we go through this. I think that notes are a good thing to take as long as you listen. I'll try to my best give you the blanks. Don't feel at all like you can't raise your hand and say, what was the blank? I missed it. I know some of you have stopped me afterwards and said, what was the blank after this? And I'm happy to answer that, but I don't mind if you raise your hand in here and say, I missed that one. And I'll try to get it to you. And so who needs one still? Okay, there's still some over here. Ron's getting those. Carrie can fill in over here. Who needs them? Are we going to be short? We'll be good. Anybody else? Anybody else need them? I think we have them. And like I said, this is 5. Everybody got them. Ron's got extras if you need them. Okay. Very good. And if you miss any and you want the notes filled in or whatever, I can supply those. Shalissa has those in the office. I think we can get you some copies. And so make sure and let us know. Honestly, things like this are valuable to keep. It doesn't mean that they're the most complete study done on discipleship. That is not the point. I can tell you that they're not that great, but it does help when you're later going through things to be able to reference them back. I want to encourage you to put some hole punches. We can do that for you in the back there. Maybe I should put them in, but find a little binder in the end. I don't know how big it will be. I don't know if it will be a half inch or if it'll be a 3-inch book. I hope it's not a 3-inch book, but I don't know if a half inch will work, but I think it would be good if you keep these things again to reference, maybe label the book, you know, here's a discipleship study on Jesus' discipleship. I think it could be valuable to you. All right, lesson number 5. Let's dig into this. Let me ask you this question now that all the commotions ended that way. All right, what was Jesus' method for discipleship? What did he choose to do?
Go ahead and speak, okay? I know you know the answers. What was his method? I'll help you. Was it to the crowds or was it to the few? It was to the few, right? And he did that. Did it work? Yes. Of course it worked. Everything that Jesus did worked. How dreadful it would be to answer, no, well, it didn't work. Well, of course, he's God. Everything that he did was perfect and right, okay? So he did this. Do you think that it is important for us to understand and follow Christ in the way he did discipleship? What do you think? Is it valuable for us to learn what Jesus Christ did? The answer is yes, we need to do this. Here's my question to you. Would you be serious enough to want to learn what Jesus did? Would it be good for our church to learn what Jesus did for discipleship? Does Faith Bible Church need to learn to be disciplers? Someone tell me why that's important. We're commanded to do it. Well, we are commanded to do it. We saw that in the Great Commission, right? We're supposed to do it. This is not an option, folks. We're supposed to do it. Tell me some more. Besides the commandment, why is it important that we engage in discipleship?
So that individuals continue to grow.
Okay, so that individuals would continue to grow. That's good, Logan. What else, Alyssa? Okay, because we're helping people go through life, right, to cope with the different things. Discipleship addresses that. Certainly, did the disciples go through some stressful things in life that they needed help knowing how to go through those? Absolutely. And Jesus was there to help. People in our lives we're here to help those people go through those difficult and, as Alyssa said, stressful situations in life. No doubt. What else? Why is discipleship important for Faith Bible Church, Vicki? To train other disciples so that the cycle doesn't stop, right? We've got to continue to train people that will train people. And that is a key. We're not just training people so that they have a good life. We're training people so that they can develop other people. It's called spiritual reproduction. The fact of the matter is, folks, that Faith Bible Church will die if we are not involved in discipleship. If we will not train other people to disciple, things will end with a certain generation. It just will end. Unless we will train people to continue on the things that we have learned, then the church can go forward. Is it important that Faith Bible Church goes forward with the gospel? It is, folks. It's so important. So my question again to you for a second time is it important enough to you that you will engage in discipleship? Will you do that? And you have to answer that in your own life. My prayer is that we will get this from young to old, from male to female, all of us. It's important that we all take this into consideration to study what Jesus did, so because his method is right. It's the best, so that we can move forward and we can see the next generation of people come to trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, so that they will get baptized, so that then we can teach them about life, so that then they can make more disciples, so that the cycle continues and we can see people reached with the gospel. We don't know when Jesus Christ will come, do we? His return is imminent. That means we don't know. It could be at any time, and so we need to continue on with discipleship. So here's my question, and this is a harder question to swallow or to think through and to face. The question is this is the fifth lesson that we've had, probably 5, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, I don't know, because some of the lessons have gone maybe one or two deep. But my question to you is, have you done anything to help your cause or help the cause with discipleship? Have you been praying about it? Have you been thinking about it? Have you been looking? Have you been paying attention to the people? Remember, go back to the first four disciples that Jesus met, and it wasn't their official calling. Jesus met them, and he spoke with them. He spent time with them. He gave them interest. We've learned a number of things. My question to you is, are you thinking about these things? Are you taking them into consideration? Probably the biggest thing is, are you just simply praying that God would use you in discipleship? And the answer to, if your answer is not yes, if you would answer to me, and I'm not asking you, so you're okay, well, you're okay with me, but before the Lord, the question is are you going to do anything to get yourself involved? And I can get up here week after week and give you the truth and give you the Bible and give you Jesus and give you his method, and if you don't choose to do anything, then it goes nowhere. And so I can work hard, and I can give you the notes, and I can give you everything, but if we do not get ourselves involved, if you won't take it seriously, then it will sit right here. It will just be another lesson that Pastor Madrid gave us. It will be another notebook tucked away on the shelf, and I would say that it won't be much of a success. How are we going to make this successful? Well, I'm doing my best to give it to you. I'm praying through it, studying it, giving it to you. As I give it to you, the Holy Spirit's doing his part by showing us, revealing himself to us, but God never forces himself upon you. If we want to choose to let it die, it will die right here. Or we can take it and let it work. I ask again, will it work? Will it work? You say, what are you asking again? Will Jesus' method of discipleship work? Does it work, folks? It does. Do you believe it works? If you really believe it works, here's a bold statement. You'll do it. If we don't do it, it's because we really don't believe it. This is a call to all of us. There are no options. No one can check out of discipleship. Okay, so let's continue on. We've learned a lot in four lessons. Let's look at the fifth. Okay, Jesus has come to four disciples. Now, who are the four people? Who are the disciples so far that Jesus has come to? Andrew. We have Andrew. We've got Peter. Philip and... I've heard some names out there. Do we have five? I think we've kind of mentioned one other. John? I think we had... Did we have one more? No, Nathaniel. Nathaniel wasn't called... He was there as a part of that, but he wasn't there. We're about ready to get into the next one that's going to come is Matthew. Matthew's going to be called, and then we don't hear of any specifics until, I forget what chapter it is, then Jesus lists all of his disciples. So we're not going to be able to explore how each one of them was called to discipleship, but he gives us about half of them that we have an understanding of how they were called. Okay, so, but let's continue on. So again, we've got four or five here, but and what was his call? What did he say? In two words, he said, "Follow me," and they did. Okay, they began to follow him, and we're going to see that that bigger call to all the disciples again. But he says, "Follow me." So I've kind of entitled this, "Follow me," and then what? Okay, what happens? What happened with them as there's so much. I wish that I could go into it, you know, but I can't. I would review for the next half hour. But you're going to have to just remember those things. By the way, I want to encourage you, do you guys take advantage of the recording ministry that we have here? The guys back there every week faithfully record the messages, and we have them online. Folks, if you can get online, you have them available all the time, okay? Unless I say something dumb and Zach doesn't put it on there, okay? Not dumb. Sometimes, you know, you just can't put things on there because you use something, and so Zach says, "Pastor, we can't put that on there." So, okay, you know. We can't put that on there. And I just need to think sometimes about that. But we have the availability, though, for you to go back and listen. Beyond that, we have the CDs. You know, I know CDs are slowly getting out of style, I guess. But some of you still listen to CDs. We have those available, and I don't know what we'll replace those with. I guess just online or other things. But we have opportunities for you to listen to them. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to some of these things. I tell you what, I would say that would be some of your biggest probably learning time, because you know how sometimes we get flooded with information and we hear it, but it doesn't solely sink in. Sometimes it takes a second or third time to listen to it again, and it starts to make sense. Honestly, how do I get to where I'm at, to where you say, "Pastor is all gung-ho about this thing"? You know how I get it? Because I go through it over and over again, and that's why I can get super excited about it. You get it one time, it's going to be hard, but I want to encourage you, go back and use the ministry that God has given to us. It's free to people. Just use it. Go back and listen. Take time through the week to go back and listen to messages and things that will be a blessing to you. All right, follow me, and then what? All right, first of all, I want you to notice, we're going to look at, as you look at the notes here, we've got a lot of passage of scripture, and there's no way that less than that, 26 minutes. We have no way in 26 minutes to go through all these. So we're just going to pick some. I don't know how we're going to, we'll see how God allows us to go through this. But what happened now? So in between this time and Matthew, because there's going to be several chapters, and by the way, I'm doing this study through a chronological Bible, okay? And so it doesn't always make sense in the way your Bible is given, because some stories are in different places. You'll notice that some of these flow, but then some will go back different places. But what happens in between? I really wish that we had, if it was 30 minutes before this and we had a whole hour, what I'd really do is I would walk you through all of this slowly, but I don't have time to do that. So let's look at this. We're going to come back and fill in the blank at the top of your page, something of ministry. That's for you to figure out. We'll come back to that. I'll give you the answer. But let's look at some things. Whoa, here we go. All right, let's go ahead and we'll take the top one. I won't always pick Mark or Matthew. We'll jump to Luke, maybe sometimes read. But let's go ahead for ease, and let's go to Mark chapter 1. Okay, you be ready to turn quickly. We'll be going between the three. You have them already. And so let's do some observation to see what happens here. So again, this is in between follow me and then in between Matthew's follow me, and then a little bit later he's going to call all 12 and they're all following him. And from then on, you know, it's very interesting what we read in the Gospels during this time. What is taking place? Mark chapter 1, and let's look up just two verses, 21 and 22. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. All right, so in these two passages, and this is Luke chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, these two passages, we have what place? What's the location? Synagogue. The synagogue in what city? Capernaum. Does anybody remember where Capernaum? Could you go to a map and point to Capernaum? Yep, northern Galilee. In fact, northern part of the Sea of Galilee. It's right on the top. It's a coastline city. It's right on the very, I say the very top. If you take it, go the right to the very top, and then just a little bit to your left or a little bit to the west. Capernaum is right there, okay? So a seaside city of Capernaum. So there we see in these verses, and they went into Capernaum, and as Bonnie mentioned, that they were also in the synagogue, okay? So the place of worship, they went to go to the synagogue. Not much is said here. We see, and when did they go? When did they meet in the synagogue? On the Sabbath day, all right? That's your first blank there. There's two blanks there, Sabbath day. The Sabbath day teaching in the synagogue. I want you to think for a moment. Okay, does this passage say anything about the disciples? The four or so that are walking by Jesus' side right now. Do we see anything about them? Does it say anything about them?
It says they.
They is about all, right? But we learn nothing. We don't hear them saying anything. We don't hear them listening. Okay, but they're there. Is there any part of learning here as they are just listening? What would it have been like for Jesus to go into the synagogue and teach on the Sabbath day? I don't know. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could hear. I wish I could hear the, was it a message? Was it teaching? What does it say? I think it says that he taught. Did he say he taught? He taught. So maybe it's something like this. Did he tell him to take out a piece of paper? Did he type out a paper and have blanks? I don't think so, but maybe, I don't know if he walked them through a study. We don't know, but he taught. But what is happening while Jesus is teaching the people there in the synagogue? What is going on specifically with the disciples? What are they doing?
Listening.
They're listening. Good. What else?
They're astonished.
They're astonished. Okay. They're, wow, did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? Let's take a pause. Did the disciples know everything about Jesus and who he is and what he came for and where he was going and what was going to take place? Did the disciples know everything and they're like, I wonder how he's going to put this one to them, you know? Did the disciples know that? Honestly, they're really not hardly a step in front of anyone else that's listening. I mean, he just said right now, they just yesterday were out casting their nets in the Sea of Galilee, right? They don't know what's going on. And then Jesus says, follow me. So they said, sure. And so they're walking with him. And it's on the Sabbath day. And they head into the synagogue. And they kind of sit down there wondering, you know, what's going to happen. And then Jesus starts teaching. He starts teaching. And these men are standing there. You know, Andrew's standing there. Peter's standing there. And John is standing there. And these men are there listening. They're watching. They're hearing. They're looking, you know, they probably listen to, you know, they refer to Jesus as their what? Master. Or what else? What is that? What's a master?
Teacher.
So this is my teacher. This is my mentor, right? He's just asked me to follow him, and he said some strange phrase that he's going to make me a fisher of men. They don't know what that means yet. I guarantee they do not know what he's talking about. And so they're sitting there. I guess they're sitting. I don't know if there's places in the synagogue to sit, but they're just sitting there and they're listening. They're taking it in. They're watching Jesus, and they're probably astonished. They're thinking, what did he just claim? Did you hear him claim that he is this? Or did you, you know, and then, but who else are they probably watching? They're probably watching the other people sitting in the synagogue thinking, you know, have you ever been like an observer of somebody and you just kind of like, you listen and And you look over like, how are they going to take this? This is important. The Bible doesn't say anything about the disciples right now, but is there something going on? Okay, let's go to the next one. We've got to keep moving. All right, let's go to, well, it's easiest you're here in Mark. I guess let's stay here. Look at verse 23 now. Let's move on. And so I think because we are short, we're always short of time, aren't we? We're always short of time. Mark, let's stay in Mark chapter 1. These are parallel passages. There's another parallel in Luke 4. But let's look at verses 23 to 28 now. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Okay, so we have next. We're in the same place. They're in Capernaum. And we have here healing of a man with an unclean spirit. That's your blank there, unclean spirit. Still in the synagogue, we have this unclean spirit. Now I want you to think just for a moment what this was like. So what's happening in the synagogue before this? Jesus is teaching, right? He's there. He's teaching. We have the audience out there made up of whoever. It's not necessarily told who is in the audience, but there's people out there in the audience. They're listening. We've got over here on the side, maybe. I don't know, someplace, we've got the disciples, the four or so that are, and what are they doing? They're listening, they're hearing. Did you hear that? Did you see that? And then we've got these, and then what happens? We've got this man with an unclean spirit, and notice what is saying there. I mean, they're there, and all of a sudden, what happens during this teaching? He cries out. Wouldn't that be an amazing event? You know, can you imagine we're just sitting here and all of a sudden, there's this cry. And what does he say? He says, and it's interesting, the words that are used. This man alone right there, and he says, "Let us alone." I mean, is that a normal thing that's happened during teaching? Is this odd? Okay, so what's the crowd thinking? What is this? What do you think the disciples are thinking? They're thinking, what is this? And can I tell you even more? How's he going to handle this one? You ever had that? You know, you've been in a group and the leader's up there and somebody says something, you're thinking, how's he going to get this one? How's he going to take care of that? How's he going to answer? You know, and that's why the person up there needs the power of the Holy Spirit to handle the situation. What's Jesus going to do? Question, is this a teaching point for the disciples right now? It is. Are the disciples at all mentioned in that passage, what we just read? We don't hear anything of them. Are they there? They're there. And they are just taking it in. And so what does Jesus do? This, you know, "Let us alone." And this person is, you know, doing this. And what does Jesus do? Commands the unclean spirit out and all of this. And the disciples are saying, "Whoa. Did you see that? Did you, you know?" And they're jabbing each other. It's like, who is this master? Who is this teacher? What's going on? This is new to everyone. See, we have a unique perspective because we have the Bible, and we've all had the Bible since the day one that we were born, right? Many of us have grown up with the Bible. We know these stories like the back of our hands. We know them. We're familiar with them. But sometimes it's good to take that aside and to try to get into it. Folks, what's happening right now is an amazing thing. And the disciples have a front row seat to observing what Jesus is doing. And they're soaking it all in. Do you think that what is happening on this day, this Sabbath day, in the synagogue is helping form and shape these men in what they're going to be someday? Absolutely. Can I tell you, folks, that observing Jesus and watching Jesus every day and what he's doing in the hearts and lives of other people is helping you grow to be the men and women God wants you to be in the future. God is doing things. Should you pay attention to what is going on in your brother on the other side of the aisle, in their lives, what's going on? Should we be paying attention to what Jesus is doing? Folks, we ought to, because we can learn about who Jesus is. We can learn how to grow, how to be like him. We can learn on how to help people. Jesus is right in front of these men as they're on the sideline watching. He's doing these things, and they are astonished. They are overwhelmed. They're shocked. And what's he going to do now? And how Jesus responds. I can tell you that one day they will do similar things and they won't even recognize, wait a second, I got this from him. They're observing so many things. So we have the healing a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue. Let's go to the next passage. I think we're just because of ease, we're going to stay right here in Mark. Again, on your own time, you can go see what Matthew and Luke have to say. But let's look at Mark 1, 29 to 34. Okay, continuing on. So now you've got the same place, same perspective. So his fame was spread abroad in Galilee, verse 28, 29. And we're going from 29 now to 34. Okay, so we'll go to verse 34. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife, so there's the four, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Am I supposed to read verse 35? No, just the 34. Okay, so there you go. All right, so they're in the synagogue, they see this amazing thing. What happens next? So they leave the synagogue, they go out, and they go into Simon's house, Simon Peter's house. And that was another place that we got to go when we were there in Capernaum. And we got to see the place where they believe is Simon Peter's house, where they were, and they've got it preserved. You could look down in there, of course, you know, generations after, you know, and just time, you know, they build on top of things, but they have gone down and excavated to where you can down there and see where Simon Peter was, right there in Capernaum. And it's kind of a neat thing to see. This is the story we're at. Jesus went there. You know, it's kind of amazing that Jesus and these other four men, they went to this spot there. And they go in, and what do they find? Simon Peter's mother-in-law, right, is sick. And so he goes in, and she's got a fever. And so he came in, and we read in verse 31, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left, and she ministered unto them. And then as the night came on, then the people bring them more diseased and possessed with devils. And it says in verse 33, all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed all these certain things. Okay, so now we leave the synagogue, and there's a group of people, and they follow him, and they're going. And Jesus goes, you know, it's the four disciples and him. He goes in there, he heals his mother-in-law. She gets up, and she ministers. And what are the people saying? What are the people thinking? They're thinking, who is this guy? This is something we have never seen before. This is amazing. I mean, think about it, folks. What if we saw this today? Wouldn't it be amazing? I mean, think about what is happening here. This man is making an impact on the people who he's around. He's making an impact with the things he's saying. He's making an impact with the things he's doing. And now he's doing miracles, and the people are just amazed. In fact, enough that the entire city gets there. And there, you can just see the city fighting in to look and see what's going on with this guy. This guy, they don't know if he's God. He's just a man. This is just a good man that's come to this place, and he's doing things. That crazy man that was wandering in the wilderness told us somebody was coming, but, you know, is this the guy? What is going on? They're watching. But I want you to think about these disciples. I mean, this is a little bit traumatic. They spent a day, and in one day they've seen Jesus teaching, and they've been listening, and they probably were shocked at many things that Jesus said. Then they watched him, heal the man with the unclean spirit. And that if that wasn't enough for one day, right? Then they walk over to Peter's house, and there's a lady, and he lifts her up, and she's there, and before they know it, she's serving them supper. You know, and these disciples are sitting there like, this is too much. Is this a dream? And then after that's done, the rest of the city shows up and Jesus just stands there one by one and starts healing diseases. He casts out unclean spirits and devils. He's doing this. I can tell you something. At the end of the night when those guys, those disciples, and I don't know where their sleeping quarters were. I don't know. But I can tell you they had a lot to think about when they went to bed that night. That was a big day. We just saw Jesus do amazing things. We just saw this man, again, Jesus, I don't know what they called him, we just, Master, we just saw this, we saw our Master, his four guys, and said, we just saw our Master change the city, turn the city upside down, and it spread all around Galilee. Is something happening with these men? Now, how long would it take for these men to really be able to do what Jesus was doing here? It would take some time, wouldn't it? It would take some time before these men are teaching others. It would take time before these men are doing some of these miracles. And I'll tell you what, it was several years before they would really, truly engage the way Jesus was. But question, was this making an impact on these men? I know it. You say you're asking the same questions after each one, Pastor. Right. I hope this is making an impact on you. Yeah, they're sitting there observing all of these things, and they're just like, wow, this is amazing. Look at this is taking place. I know what you're asking. You're saying, what are the blanks? Peter's mom, okay? A day of miracles. Capernaum, we've got a day of miracles there. We've got Peter's mom. We've got devils. We've got sickness. Those are your blanks there, okay? So you fill this in. Wow, this has been a big day. Let's stick on with Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Our time is quickly going, so we got to keep going. Okay, let's keep going with the story. Mark 1, 35 to 39. And in the morning, okay, we just got past the first day. Whew, that was a big one. Oh, the disciples are relieved. This is a new day. Maybe it'd just be a normal day. All right, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, so it was an early day, he went out and departed into solitary place and there prayed. Whew, this is maybe an easier day. And Simon and David followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. How far am I going? Verse 39. All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Started as a very calm day, didn't end so calm. Till the end of the second day, these men are exhausted because they've seen so many things. But what did they observe on this second day that was unique to the first day? What did they see Jesus do for a little while? He went to the mountain and prayed, didn't he? Or he went, I don't know if it says mountain. He got to a solitary place. He went to alone. He got alone and he went and prayed. Now, that sounds very basic, doesn't it? Very simple. He went and prayed. We think nothing of that. What do these men know about praying? See, we take a lot for granted. We have no idea. Folks, these guys didn't know. Who's he talking to? You ever prayed in public and you wondered what people are just kind of looking at you like, what are they doing? Now, I know it's enough. I know it's been around long enough that people probably know, yeah, those are holy people over there, you know, they're praying. By the way, it's a great testimony to bow your head in a public place and pray. I know it doesn't witness to people. I know it's not the gospel, but it shows people that you've got somebody in your life that you worship, that you go to, that you thank, and it's a tremendous opportunity. Don't pass up the opportunity to take the opportunity to publicly bring things to the Lord and thank the Lord. Okay, but we take it for granted. I mean, honestly, when I read that, I don't think anything of the disciples, but this is a new light. Now when I'm thinking of discipleship, these guys have no clue what's going on. You know, they go and it's like, oh good, it's a new morning. The sun's, well, it doesn't even look like it's barely up, you know, over the Sea of Galilee there, and they go and they think this is going to be a quiet day, and it starts, and Jesus goes and he goes and he gets alone, and I don't know what he said. I don't know what Jesus was, you know, what he said to the Father, but we know he was praying to the Father, right? There's no one else to pray to. He's praying to the Father. And so they're there. It doesn't say that they were a far way off. It doesn't say that they were sitting there listening. I don't know. But they're there, and I'm sure that these four guys are thinking, this is a little uncomfortable. What's he doing? Who's he talking to, Andrew? I wonder what Jesus prayed for. And I don't know. I cannot tell you. Could he have said, Lord, it was a big day yesterday. Father, this is a big day. Got to see you do a lot of great things. It's a new day. By the way, the disciples came, and what did they tell Jesus while he was praying? What did they tell him? Do you see what's coming? Jesus, the crowd's coming. They're seeking you. Here they come again. And the disciples are probably looking at another one of these days. I don't know what they were thinking, but they're seeking you. What did Jesus say? And the reason why I think they might have been a little skeptical is because Jesus is like, hey, this is why I came. Let's go. Okay. Follow me. Here we go. Question. The disciples here are over to the side. Now they're watching Jesus pray. Are they learning something? It's making an impact. They're watching. They're listening. They're observing. What's he doing? Would Jesus' prayer make an impact? Not long after this, what are the disciples going to come to Jesus and ask? Lord, teach me to pray. Jesus is, I think with all my heart, Jesus says, Lord, Father, would you help me? I'm about to go with the crowd again. I need the Holy Spirit's power. I mean, remember when Jesus was baptized, he prayed, right? And what was the answer of the Father? The Holy Spirit, right? He gave that presence, that power, you know, everything that he would need to do this ministry, he handed to Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. I have no reason to doubt that Jesus, when he goes to prayer, is saying, Father, I'm going to need you again as I go, and the crowds are coming, and I'm going to emanate out of my body the power that men would fall back to sometimes, that men would be changed. You know, when that lady would touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that she felt that power coming out of him. Folks, remember that this was a man. As a man, he would have power coming out of him. And no doubt, that would be exhausting to him. Some of you, this might surprise you. But even as a pastor, when I give a full day to preaching, I know some of you think that there's nothing physical about my job. Can I tell you that a day of preaching, I go home exhausted physically. And I've had a fair amount of jobs that I worked all day long. And it was hard. When I go home at night, I am thoroughly exhausted. There's no doubt, as we're giving out power, we become weak. And you feel weak. And there's no doubt that Jesus was saying, Father, would you give me the power and the strength? This power will be going out of me so that I can continue on. We cannot forget that Jesus Christ was a man, even though he was God. We don't understand that, do we? But he would go to his Father, and these men are watching. They're observing, and they are saying, what is going on? This is like fire hydrant drinks. This is big. But they're watching. Would it make an impact on these men? Oh man, it's going to make an impact. There's no way that 12 men would go and turn the world upside down had they not observed and watched Jesus do all of this. You say, where's this going? We've only got a couple minutes left. Did you have some blanks there? Prayer, preaching. Okay, so you can put those two blanks. The tour of Galilee with the four disciples. It says that they go about Galilee, and there's prayer, and there's preaching. Those are your next two blanks. We're going to pass up the next. If we read verses 40 to 45, and there was a leper which came to him, and so if thou wilt, canst make me clean. So there's a request from this leper. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him forthwith, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much. He didn't obey Jesus that way. And to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. You know, he's hurting his own cause there. People are just going to come from everywhere because they're seeing what's going on there. And the message is still the same. We have the cleansing of the leper there. There's your blank there. And so we've got this situation. The disciples are just soaking all this in. They're just getting blown away within the first couple days. The next passage goes into Mark chapter 2. I don't have time to read the 12 verses, but here we have the paralytic man born of four. You remember that story? How the crowd was around about Jesus. They were in the house, and these four friends, he wanted to get in to see Jesus, and they go and they bust a hole through the roof and they let him down, and Jesus takes care of some things. But notice the end of this passage. So Jesus does this, and he sees their faith, but then what happens in this passage that goes beyond these first 2 days? What does Jesus say? Another thing comes in. Thy sins be forgiven. This is new. He dealt with the physical. He dealt with the devils. Now he's forgiving sins. And are there going to be red flags popping up with the scribes and Pharisees immediately? Immediately, this is a big deal. This was, you know what? The physical was one thing. And they were saying, whoa. Wow. What? Who? Now he says, your sins are forgiven. Did this cause an uproar with the scribes and the Pharisees? Immediately, they're like, heretic, get this man out of here. Immediately looking to kill him. Immediately saying, this is this guy's gone beyond. What are the disciples thinking? Again, put yourself with the disciples. What are they thinking? They're halfway wondering if this guy's a lunatic, right? I mean, wait a second. This was amazing, but now he's forgiving people. Only who can do that? Only God. Is Jesus making claims here? Quietly? He is. And these disciples are simply observing. By the way, that's the first blank. If you go back to the top of the page, observation. Okay, observing, or one of the two words, I don't know how I put it. Observation of ministry. So these men, by the way, has there been any reference to the disciples besides what Rick said, they? Has there been any reference to the disciples in all of these stories? Are they there? They're there. They are there. They are going to be with him until the end. They are there. What are they doing? They're watching. They're listening. They're learning. What can we learn from all of this? And you say, how in the world is he going to do this in 30 seconds? We don't follow. I'm just going to start going through the notes you put in the blanks. We don't even hear of the four disciples. But yet we see them following. We don't hear of them doing anything. Yet they are observing. We don't hear of them talking. Yet they are learning. Here, following, doing, observing, talking, learning. Did you get them? I know I said that fast. You can't write that fast. We don't even hear of the four disciples. They are following. We don't hear of them doing anything. They are observing. We don't hear of them talking. They are learning. Did you get them? Okay. A beginning, listen to this, a beginning and important part of Jesus' discipleship, don't miss this, is simply allowing his disciples to go along with him and observe without doing anything yet. You have a blank there, observe. Keep writing, keep your pencil sharp, all right? They observe. I'll explain this in a moment. They observe. They listen. They watch. They learn. They develop. They mature. I'll go through them again. They understand. Well, I can't say they're going. They are in the process of understanding. They grow in faith. They observe. They listen. They watch. They learn. They develop. They mature. They grow to understand who He is. They grow in faith. This is so important. As we begin to desire to make a difference in people's life, we don't get them busy immediately, but we are willing to model what a believer does. We let them observe. We let them just soak it in. Listen, you don't need to do it. I went recently with Tim Brubaker to the Capitol in Harrisburg. And this is what he told me. He said, Pastor Madrid, it's not that I don't trust you, but you don't need to say anything. Okay? He didn't want me to mess anything up. No, that's not what it was. But he said, listen, I've been doing this, and I kind of probably thought through what to say, what not to say. He didn't tell me not to say anything. He said, listen, in fact, he did tell me, if you felt like you want to say something, go ahead. But there was and for me, I was absolutely happy because I'm okay to preach in front of people, but I'm not, I'll just be honest with you, I'm not okay to show up at a person, you know, in the government and just start talking to them about politics. That's not me. I was absolutely fine for him to say, just observe. And I was like, I can do that. Okay. But you know, as I went there, he went and he knew what to say, he knew what not to say, he knew how to go about it. And me and the boys, Malachi and Ezekiel and Nehemiah went with me. And what would we do? We observed, we watched, and we listened, and we learned. But you know what? And I don't know that I would be ready to go next time and do that, but we learned, and we grew, and we kind of matured. We got to understand. Do you know what? There's nothing wrong with having a person, they don't have to do it right away. Just watch. That's why we need to be modelers of what a Christian's supposed to look like. That's really the main point of tonight. How we disciple. Do you realize that not by choice we are all disciplers because people are watching? Do you know that you are all discipling people right now? People are observing. People are listening. People are hearing. People watch how you react to difficult situations. Right here in church, people watch what you're doing. People, and it's influencing them. If we know that he couldn't because he's God, but if Jesus would have influenced them in a different way, would they have followed? Yeah, they would have. He was the truth. He was what they knew. They are learning and growing right here. They are building who they would become. And there's only one reason why all but John went to a very difficult death. How did they do that? How did they go to the stake? How did they do what they did? I want to tell you, because they spent time that was not wasted for 3 years observing what Jesus did. You know, Jesus did not come and say, hey, you go talk to them. You do this. I'll just send you over there. No, he didn't say anything else. We don't even hear of these men in there, but we see Jesus modeling it. Folks, I want to tell you as we close tonight, listen, one of the best ways we disciple people is we model it. You live it. If you have children at home, you are discipling every day, whether you want to or not. It's discipleship. You're modeling what Jesus Christ is supposed to look like. Sometimes we make Jesus look bad. We make the Father look bad. And that is a high priority of us. But you are modeling. You adults in this room, you are modeling to the young people what a Christian ought to look like. And they will, whether you like it or not, they will go forward. And you will be the model of what a Christian is supposed to look like. That could be a great thing and it could be a scary thing. How you talk. How you talk about other people. I want to tell you something. You are going to disciple people, young people, how they should talk. And it's not just younger people, other people. We influence other people. You know, me as a pastor, if you hear me have a bad attitude about something, you might automatically assume that it's okay to have a bad attitude about something. Boy, I better watch that, shouldn't I? I better watch what I do. I better watch what I partake in. I better watch my attitude. I better watch how I respond to different things because it's going to make an impact on you. I guarantee that just because that's the way it works. But folks, it's not just me. It's all of us. We have make an impact on people. That's how we model it. Praise the Lord that Jesus was modeling an excellent opportunity. He is training these men, even though we don't even hear them. Their training has started. He said, follow me, and their training started immediately. And the thing is none of you, you haven't even said follow me to anybody else, but the training is already happening. People are being influenced because of you in a positive way or in a negative way. And we've got to be so careful with that. You're looking at me and you're saying, but there's more blanks. I know. There's too much. We've got to stop here. Okay? It will just be, you could probably fill in the blanks by yourself, but I'll finish them next week and we'll just keep moving. I'll probably have another sheet, but we'll finish them next week. We're already over. We've got a yak coming on here, and it would be foolish for me just to race through this, just to simply get through it tonight. So we're not going to do that. Have we learned something tonight? I think we have. I think we need to take it seriously. And I just love the way Jesus did it. And it seems like, you know, if we would have at the beginning, if I would have asked, look at all these passages, read them, and then look up this way when you're done. You would have read them and maybe taken you about 15 minutes to read it. You would have got done. And I would have asked you the question, is there any training that Jesus did there? And maybe you would have been tempted to say, not really. Doesn't say a word to the disciples. We don't even hear about the disciples. Now that we've gone through it, I ask you the question, is there any training being done in this passage? Yeah, an amazing amount of training. You see, a lot of training happens without word, without back and forth words. It's a lot of observation. And so, wow. A big part of what Jesus did with these men, and this is what I want you to get, a big part of what Jesus did in training these men was through their observation. That is going to come back to be big as we look at Jesus' discipleship with these disciples. Father, would you help us as we go through this? I like this. This is fun. I don't know if these people are learning anything, but Lord, I pray that you would help develop a philosophy and a theology on what discipleship is all about. God, I pray that we would think about it through the week. Lord, help us not just to hang this up until next Sunday. God, help us to really make this a part of our lives so that we can move forward and do this. God, help us. Thank you for what we're learning. Lord, would you grow us? In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.